Thank you, Pastor. Good evening, church. Is it evening? Or is it after? What is it? I can't remember. I ate too much food. It all went to my head. All the blood left my head, and so I'm dizzy up here. No, I'm just kidding. No, that was some good food. Thank you all who did that, and thank you all for having us here. And I'm just going to make a couple introductory notes here, and then we'll show you a video. It's going to give you a better idea of what we're going to be doing. And then we'll show you some pictures of what we've done and what we want to continue to do. Amen. Even more so. But my pastor says that I have to introduce myself to you, let you tell you a little bit about myself, because you all don't know me. He says, JB, we know you, but they don't know you. So I'll just start from the beginning. When I was born, I was very young. We're going to fast forward a little bit. All right. But my name is JB, and if you're wondering what that stands for, it means Juan Burrito. Okay. No, you know what? I've worked with children for so many years, over 25 years I've worked with children. And so you got to have a sense of humor, right? But I take the Word of God very seriously. Amen? And so I went to church as a little boy, Low Country Baptist Church, and I heard the gospel. I went to VBS Sunday school. I never got saved. Until I was a young man, I got saved, and boy, did I ever get saved, amen? Amen. I got saved, and I went off and went to Bible college, and while I was there, during the chapel hour, I was challenged to surrender my life to the Lord, so I went forward and to an old-fashioned altar, and the Lord called me to preach, amen? And from that point on, I've tried to preach and teach every week during the whole week, and I've just dedicated and just been married to the ministry. Until I went on a trip to the Philippines, and I met Miss Marie. Now I'm married to the Philippines. I'll tell you more about this. But I'm from Cross and Crown Baptist Church, Pastor Joe Davis. I've been the children's preacher there for over 25 years, and I thought I'd just die there. But you know, the Lord has other plans. Amen. I've been on many missions trips, all kinds of different places, down in Peru, where my friend does work with the deaf boys and girls down there. And I've been to the Ukraine and different parts of the world. But when I went to the Philippines, it was different. You know, when you see missionaries come up here, when I was in your place, I wanted to go help them, but I didn't have the calling. And when I go to a mission field, I want to stay, but I didn't have the calling. But I went to the Philippines, I didn't want to go back here. I don't know how to explain it other than the Lord was calling me there. I went back and I said, Pastor, can we talk? And we sat down, and before a word came out of my mouth, he said, you're moving to the Philippines, aren't you? And I said, how did you know? And he said, well, we've been praying about it for years because we knew the Lord was stirring my heart for something. We didn't know what. And so I spent a year training everybody to take my place there at the church. And then went back, and on my second missionary trip to the Philippines, I've been there five times, I met Miss Marie. And she heard me preach and said, man, I got to have that guy. Wow. Come back Sunday night and you'll find out why, okay? Come back Sunday, I'll be preaching Sunday night. But I'm taken, ladies, sorry, okay? And she begged me to marry her so many times, I finally gave in. Most of that is true, okay? It's the blood, you know. But Marie started attending Hillside Bible Baptist Church there in the Philippines when she was four. She got saved at the age of nine in her Sunday school class. And from that point on, she served in Kids for Christ on Saturday, reaching out to the children in the streets, and did Sunday school and worked with the ladies and youth and choir and I don't know what all else, visitation, whatever else she could do. And so we are fully dedicated. I have sold my house, and my wife says now she's married to a homeless man, okay? And so what I'm trying to tell you is we're fully dedicated. We're fully in. When we got married on November 29th, 2019, we spent the rest of that year ministering there in the Philippines. We came back here January 2020, began full-time deputation. The only house that she's had since she's been married is a 2004 Toyota Sienna van with over 300,000 miles on it. That's her kitchen, her bedroom, her bathroom, everything, ladies. And she's happy to do it. All right. And so last year, our first full year on deputation, I'd done a few little things before that, but we ended with 56% support. And already this year, we're at 63. And we have another church that pledged coming on in April, so that would put us at 65.
Amen.
Amen. So that's God doing a work right there. And so I told Marie, I said, Marie, if it keeps up like this, we're going to have to actually go. All right. I'm going to show you the video here, and hopefully that gives you a picture of who we are. And come on back to the table back there and ask us any questions you want. But I just wanted to show you a couple of things here. We got the traditional prayer card there with all the information on it. We got a bookmark prayer card here, okay? And did anybody get one of these yet? If you got one, raise your hand if you got. Okay, you know what? I failed to tell you something, and I apologize about it. These aren't free. Yeah, they cost you one prayer. All right? You got a prayer left in you? All right, then please pray for us. You know, that's what these are for. They're just to remind you to pray for us. And once you start praying, you know what? The Bible, you know, I believe if you pray for somebody that you'll love them.
That's right.
Amen. And we believe in prayer.
Amen.
Boy, do I believe in prayer. I told my pastor, if I get nothing else out of deputation, I want 1,000 people a day praying for us when we're on the field.
Amen.
Now, why is that? Because I want to be able to open up the Word of God, read the Word of God, and let the Holy Spirit do a work. Amen?
Yeah.
It's all about Him. But we can't do that without the power of prayer. So we really do want your prayers. Without a shadow of a doubt, that's what we really, really want, really, really need. And then God will bless that. Amen? All right. We're going to show a short video here, and then we'll talk more about the ministry, okay? Philippines is the very definition of paradise. The beauty of this place is captivating. The Philippine archipelago is comprised of over 7,500 islands. These islands are home to lush forests, magnificent beaches, and are teeming with incredible wildlife of every sort. But more than that, what makes the Philippines truly special is the people. On the 2,000 inhabited islands, over 100 million people call the Philippines home, with some 10 million abroad. While serving in the Philippines, I plan to be focusing on the northern island of Luzon, specifically in the Olongapo, Subic Bay, and Manila areas. The modern and large cities, like the capital of Manila, stands in stark contrast to the rural population that make up half of the country's population. Hello, my name is J.B. Tarwater. I have been at Cross and Crown Baptist Church for almost 26 years. And for 25 of those years, I have been the children's director, that is, children's preacher for Children's Church. And I also do the bus ministry, visitation, VBSs, and Bible clubs, and other things. For several years, the Lord has been working in my heart and my life, and I feel like I need to evangelize children around the world. I believe that all the experience and everything that I have done in the Lord's work to this point has led me to this very moment in my life. And that is that I have surrendered by God's calling to the mission field of the Philippines, specifically the northern island of Luzon that has a high concentration of street children and orphans. The reason there's so many street children in this particular area is because there was a huge Navy base there at one time, and men from other countries all over the world would come in, and because the population is so poor, the ladies would offer themselves for money. And so there was a lot of orphan kids, a lot of unwed mothers, and this has perpetuated itself for now a second generation. And so there's estimated 1.5 million street children in the Philippines. Human trafficking is a major problem in certain parts of the country, with some of the highest concentration of abandoned children in the Olongapo and Subic Bay area. I love it here in the United States, but I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be there in the Philippines, reaching the boys and girls in the local churches, training them, teaching them, and those orphans or orphaned boys and girls on the street with little or no hope. I want to be able to reach out and tell them about the love of Christ and tell them they can know for sure they're going to heaven when they die by putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and give them hope and give them education and a future so that they can go on and serve the Lord on their own. I will be working with seasoned missionaries from the U.S. and local indigenous independent fundamental Baptist churches and pastors and new church plants. My focus will be toward orphan and street children and Bible family camps, working with local Bible clubs, VBSs, and witnessing and discipling and training others for the ministry through Bible Baptist Seminary and ministry-related workshops. So I am asking my brothers and sisters in Christ to support this mission of God's doing through prayer, giving, and if possible, going.
That's everything you have. That's all your resources. And I have done that. We still give to missions. We give offering. We tithe. But beyond all that, giving yourself are very gladly spend. And I sold my house. We didn't send a container over there or anything like that. We have a few boxes we sent with just a couple of special things. But everything we own is in that van out there. And I'm not saying that other than this, is we're all in. We don't need a whole bunch of stuff to encumber us. We've got a job we need to do when we get there. We need to be fleet of foot, as it were, okay? And so we spend and be spent, the verse says. Now, what does that mean? That means your time. That means your resources. I have no hobbies. I have no debt. I've just dedicated myself to the Lord, and I've spent my time serving the Lord. Amen. And so, and my wife is the same way. She's just all in, okay? And then very gladly spend and be spent, though the more abundantly I love you, that he's saying there, the more abundantly those that I preach to, those that I reach out to, that I've given everything I have and everything that I am to them, the more I love them, and by the way, love is giving, by the way, the more you give, the less you be loved. What he's saying there is, he gave it all. That's what we want to do. We're giving it all. And it doesn't matter if we're loved or not. We're not looking for popularity. We're not looking for fame. We're certainly not looking for money. We're looking for souls to be saved. Amen. That's it. Souls to be saved and discipled and grow and then go on and do the same thing. Amen. And so that's our life verse for the ministry. And having said that, I'm going to show you some pictures of some things. Can I take this off of here and just come around? Okay. Okay, now this really is Filipino style right here. Because go the other way?
Okay. Okay, how about if I stand over here? That'd be all right? Okay. All right. So we're going to the northern island of Luzon, where 50% of the Filipinos in the world live. That's somewhere near, I think it's 53 to 55 million. And in Manila, there's 110,000 people per square mile. Yeah, can you believe that? Well, you can't even fathom that. There's no way of knowing. That's unbelievable. Oh, and the statistic I gave you on that is now old with the 1.5 million street children. It just was updated to 1.8 million street children. That's the newest statistic. Okay, so we're there in the island of Luzon in Ilongapo, where Marie grew up, and in Subic Bay area, and there's Manila, about 4 or 5 hours away, depending on traffic. Very populated area. Over there, you'll see in the pictures I was wearing, some of the pictures you'll see I'm wearing what's called a barong. That's more like their suit over there, okay? So they dress different over there. The money's different. They were colonized by Spain for 300 years. It says pesos. It doesn't look like pesos, but there's a lot of names, a lot of places that are similar because they were colonized for 300 years. Also, the food's different there. You got a taste of that tonight, right? And kayen tayo means let's eat. And two of my favorite words, okay? In any language. Doesn't matter the language, okay? All right. And the fruit over there is different. You probably recognize the coconuts, probably not much else. And my favorite are what I call the little red hairy eyeballs right down there. Those are really good, okay? They do have an official name. I can't ever remember it. All right. Now, the food over there is different. Also, the meat, they eat a lot of dried fish and a lot of fish. And so, but like, this was my very first meal right here on the right. That's my very first meal at a restaurant on my way from Manila when I first time I landed in the Philippines. And you can see the eyes are there, the fins are there, and all that. And there's rice underneath that upside-down egg, and that was just a small portion of rice. Usually, this is an American meal, okay? They don't usually eat like that. It's the other way around. And the pork right there, that's like for some special event, like a wedding or something. But if you're a special person there with a special guest, that is, you might get a piece of the ear or something. You ever had that piece of the ear or skin? It's really great. And then sometimes you wonder if it's food at all, you know? After a hot VBS, now I mean hot, we were doing VBSs at New Church Plants a few years back. Boy, that was fun. But this pastor had built a church out of just nothing. Himself with his bare hands. He lived in there and everything. And it was 120 degrees in there. And we had the kids just packed in. And we start at 5:30 in the morning. We have devotions, a cup of coffee. Then we start getting kids. By 6:30, their kids are there. And they start bringing them in waves on the little scooters and the little tricycles. And so you got to have them home by 11, 1130 because they'll pass out if you're jumping around and all that, you know, or will pass out. So by noon, you're having lunch. Well, in the Philippines, they'll eat soup night and day. And it's hot. And so they give me this hot bowl of soup at 12 o'clock when it's 120 degrees after VBS. And now there's rice in there at the bottom. There's some green floaty things. And then all I could identify it as was baby hands. And I had eaten everything, done everything, never complained about nothing. Never complained there wasn't any toilet paper. Never complained about hot water, but I wasn't eating baby hands. Now, I grew up on the farm. I mean, way out in the woods, okay? And we had an outside toilet. We pumped the water from the well. Okay, if you wanted breakfast, you got it under the chicken or under the cow. And we had eaten every part of a chicken. I mean, I slaughtered them. I ate them. I plucked them. I even ate chicken lips one time. But I'd never had chicken's feet. Has anybody here ever eaten chicken's feet? Well, you guys are weird. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It really kind of tastes like the tip of a wing, of like a little tip of a wing. And the only meat's that little pad right there. You know, I was crunching on bones and all kinds of stuff. So anyway, but you know what? They said, when they saw this, they said, JB, you're going to make a good missionary. I said, why? They said, you eat anything. You never complain. You do it all. I was a little hesitant. But it's okay. But the food's different, but it's delicious most of the time. The transportation is different. Okay, you drive around in what's called a jeepney. It's a bus with no windows, no doors. And there's Miss Marie and I. Whoop, There we are. And we're going to go up and preach to some orphans and stuff. And now, be careful. If you're going up the hill, if you stand up, you might roll out. Okay? So. All right. Now, that's just a typical street on the left there. You see cars and vans and buses and people and motorcycles just everywhere. That's normal. This over here is what's called a tricycle because most people do not have cars. Although you see cars everywhere, you see mass transit. There's 100 people and 100 motorcycles for every car, okay? And so it's a motorcycle with a sidecar welded on it. There's no helmet. There's no air conditioning. There's no seatbelt, okay? And on this one right here, I counted 9 Filipinos. Wow. Yeah, and you can get that many on there or one big American. You know? Marie's sitting in the sidecar here. I'm on the back. I'm not even sure that front wheel's touching. Okay, I don't know how he steered. Okay. You can. There's other modes of transportation, bus, and you can buy yourself a little vehicle and ride around. We took this boat right here. It's called a bonka, and that just means boat, wooden boat, and it has the arms on it. We went way out to an island because there are some, not many, but there are still some islands there that have no roads. The only way in is by this boat. And there's no electricity. There's no running water. Kids don't have any shoes to run around. I mean, it is jungle. First time I ever preached, we got on this boat. We took it out, and I was sitting there, and I preached. The backdrop was jungle, and they actually literally grass huts, and it's where people live. And you know what, though? Those are souls, amen? They need to be reached. You know what? There's a church there now, and it's growing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's called Patmos Island. And there's a certificate out on the table there where I preach. They gave me a certificate. So, does anybody see any code violations in some of the houses here? These would be typical apartments, houses. The one in the top is an outside bathroom. This is a normal bathroom, a nice one. Most of the bathrooms there, ladies, don't be fooled. That does not flush. It's just for looks. Okay, you use the scoop out of the bucket to flush, to wash, to shower. This is everything right here. And this is a nice one, okay? There's no toilet paper. There's no lid, okay? Yeah. Okay, and the market has everything you can imagine, though. Just people are everywhere. You can go to the market. Again, just another shot of a typical street. This is what it looks like all the time, okay? Now, it did clear out for a second right here. As we were coming through, and I took a picture because we're going right there on the right-hand side, that banner right there, that's a prison, okay? And I preach in the prison there. I can't take pictures inside because they won't let me take my cell phone in there, okay? They take it before, so you can't take pictures. We also, with Hillside Bible Baptist Church and Scripture Baptist Church, her pastor started those, one of them, and he pastors, and so he's been there 30-some years, I think. He's Filipino. But this is in their little van, and we shoved 20 people in an 8-passenger van and go out soul winning. And once you get off the street like that and you get out into the neighborhoods, then the area we're in, this is a typical house. These are we didn't pick these because they look bad. This is just like the first ones we came to that day or so, whatever. We just took random pictures. And we're out on visitation here, and you can see it's just anything you can use for a roof. Those are just some blocks. Those over there are literally bamboo sticks, okay? But you know what? There's people that live in there. There's little kids that live there, and they need the Lord, amen? And so we go door to door, just like you would here, right? And there we are going door to door in another neighborhood, and here we are, we ran across this young man, Christian. He makes his living 10 cents at a time selling those little Dixie cups full of that dessert. He puts a bar on his shoulder there and those buckets, and I witnessed to him that day, and he made a profession of faith, amen? Along with another man that day, too. We also go house to house and preach. And what this is, because they're so poor there, that the average pay is somewhere between $300 and $600 a month, something like that, really good pay. Yeah. And so now you say, how can they live on that? Well, you can do that here, but you'll live like that. No car, no heat, no air conditioning, nothing like that. And you have to walk everywhere. Well, and 80% of your meals would be rice, okay? Okay, so we go there. They work all the time, these ladies. And so we take church to them when they can't make it to church, all right? And so there I am preaching to them. And this little girl in the pink, she got saved a week before that at Marie's church at a youth outing and came forward the next Sunday for baptism. Amen? Okay, we do in-home Bible studies. Now, here they're not as popular as they used to be, but there they're very effective. Now, this one's counseling. I'm doing a counseling session here. I did multiple counselings with this man. He was having problems in his marriage. And we also, but you can do it for evangelism. People will let you do that. You can do it for training other men and women, and you can do it for discipleship. Sometimes it's just easier to go to them than it is to get them to come to you and less costly for them. One of our favorite things right here is street preaching. Now, this is literally in the street, okay? This is a street. We pulled the van over, ran up and down the street, got all the street kids and anybody, any houses, any kids in the houses and said, hey, there's a preacher here. He'll do a trick for you. And we got a little bit of food and they will come out. And then I do gospel tricks for them. Let me just do one for you here real quick. I promised some of the kids I would do this. Now, this is just real quick, but typically I'll do a whole message, okay? Something like this, like, let's just say, before you know the Lord, your life is just plain and there's no peace and love and joy. You ask the Lord to forgive you and he'll wipe away all your sin. Amen? Wow. Then, but he won't do that only that, but he'll add to your life love and joy and peace. Amen? And then something like this right here. I'll just take these three ropes and you can just carry these with you right out in the street and just say, look, you may think that you have more sin and you're just too you have too much sin. God can't forgive you. But the Bible says that Jesus would that all men come to repentance and the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this right here, you might say, you know, I'm just like everybody else. But the Bible says we're always supposed to compare ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. You say, you know what, I'm better than everybody else. But the Bible says there's only one perfect, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ sees us all exactly the same. He doesn't see us different. He doesn't see us that way. He sees us all in the need of a Savior. Amen? So I'm going to take all these right before your eyes, turn them the same size. Okay? So there's a long rope. I don't want to get it mixed up. There's a medium rope. Okay? And there, whoop, and there's a short rope. And right before your eyes, all the same size. All right? Now, okay, I see an unbeliever back there. Okay, all right. All right. See right there, there's one. Okay? There's two, and there's three. All right? There you go. There you go. All the same size right there. That's the hard part. That's the easy part. The hard part is putting them back in the same before they were. Okay, so that's just real quick. Just a real quick example there. And I got to go fast here. All right. Preach it. All right. Now, what we don't do is we don't just say, hey, raise your hand, say you're saved. Okay? What we do is if you're interested, and I preach the gospel, I've given some illusion or something like that, and I only do tricks to teach them the gospel and to teach them that Satan will trick them before they even realize it to not believe the Bible's true. He'll trick them not to obey mom and dad, obey the word of God. That's all a trick, okay? And so what we do is we break them out, and we deal with them one-on-one. There's Marie dealing with some of the little kids one-on-one, and it depends. Sometimes we have so many we have to do one or three, but we go to them one by one, amen? Okay, this is just a basketball court, and we took some food there and to a basketball court, and I love showing this picture here because these ladies are so dedicated, and they work so hard, and they'll be in that van that's 100 and some degrees dishing out food for the kids all day, and you know what? And these little kids, you go there, you show them a little bit of genuine love, you tell them Jesus Christ loves them, they respond. Because you know what? They're just little kids, right? They're just little kids. They need to hear the truth. They deserve to hear the truth. Okay, I also go into what's called a drug recovery program. President Duterte there said, hey, if we catch you in the act of dealing, we're just going to shoot you. And they did. They shot some. And it reduced drug deals have gone down like 60%, something like that. I'm not saying that's what we should do here, but it seems to be working there. And if you do give up, then they throw you in prison. It's not one strike, two strike. It's you're in prison. If you can somehow get out, you have to go through a drug rehabilitation. And every week you have to show up and sign up, and it's a two-hour thing. And for one of those hours, you can have a gospel preacher come and preach. Amen? Amen? Amen. But they can also let other people go too. So when we're not there or somebody from her church or something like that, anybody can go in. But every time we go, I've seen one or two people raise their hand for salvation every time. Wouldn't you like to have a drug program like that here in the U.S.? Amen. We do Bible clubs. This is one day we went out on a Saturday, and we invited in a bunch of kids from the neighborhood. 30 came, and 10 came forward for salvation. This is us. We're going to go so fast here that I can't remember. But I do children's church. I do puppetry. I do ventriloquism. I do balloon animals. All just to get the kids' attention. But you know what? It works for the adults too. Amen. This is Marie's church. She grew up at ACE school. She practically lived at the church growing up. And I'm preaching there, but you know what? You can go into the public schools there too. You get permission, and you get the paperwork done, and you can go preach, and you can preach to 1,000 kids every other month or so. And they'll bring them in. They'll bring them in by what they call it, assembly. And the first thing that went through my mind here in America was, well, will they really listen? Some will. Right? What if one does? Does one matter? I think one matters. I read in my Bible that the Bible says that Jesus turned the world upside down with 12. Amen? Well, if you get the right kid saved, and you don't know what he's going to do or she's going to do, right? And also, Bible camp is a huge thing over there because what they do is they get like-minded churches together, and they go out and they separate themselves from the world. No cell phones, none of that nonsense, for 3 whole days. And you get preached to 3 or 4 times a day. This is a breakout session. You get breakout sessions where you're taught and trained. And in fact, this is where Marie and I met. This is where she fell in love with me right there. Okay? And sort of, kind of. and so, but you know what? We can send someone to one of these camps for $35. Because all the ladies sleep in one room, and all the men sleep in another building. And it's like fish sardines, you know. And we eat 80% of what we eat is rice. But you know what? It doesn't matter. People, you know what? This is, well, we're both in there somewhere. If you can pick us out. But what happens is a lot of folks surrender their lives to the Lord at something like this. When you don't have the world on you, you know, man, it's life. It can be life changing. Okay, now this is a feeding ministry where we go into the dumps. And sometimes a cemetery. This is in and around a dump there. We take the kids some food. And you know, some of the kids there, as Brother Noble well knows, many of them are just totally abused and abandoned. And they're on their own. 1.8 million is the estimate. So you figure half of those are more on the northern island of Luzon there. And so, you know, they just need to see someone show them true love. Because they get everything but that. And you give them a little bit of food, and you open up the Bible, and you give them a true biblical account of how Jesus loves them, how he died for them, and he wants them to go to heaven. They respond. Amen. And then when they respond, one of the things that we want to do is help. We want to disciple. We want to evangelize, disciple, and help train men, help train couples and others to be in full-time ministry. Help them plant churches. Help them to work with the kids. Because at the Bible camp I went to the first time years ago, I asked them, I said, tell me your greatest need. And every pastor there must have been 15 pastors, they said 2 things. Now, they didn't ask for money, although that is a big need there. They said, we need laborers. Everybody can agree with that. And they said, we need help with the kids. And I said, I can do that. I can do that. Amen. And so the men come out of the seminary, Bible Baptist Seminary of the Philippines, they know their Bible, right? But they don't know how to deal with so many kids just flooding the streets, flooding everywhere. You know, they need help. And so we want to go in and help them. And we want these kids, when they get saved, we want to be able to say, hey, here's a church we helped start. Or here's a church that we're helping. And we want to be able to get kids in there. And we want to be able also to have, through the local church, a children's home, or some kind of foster parents within a church and things like that to change that whole next generation. Amen? Amen. This is Pastor Ted. He's been there 40 years. And so we do a lot with him because he's teaching me a lot of things. Amen. And I think you guys want kind of get connected with him a little bit. Right. And so this right here is just there. Marie and I are just there. It's at Christmas time. And we took food to him and I preached to him. And he has 50 there, but he's overflowing. He can't take anymore. And so we need to take that same type of idea and do over and over and over again. Because these 3 little girls here on the right, they were street kids. They were abandoned. left alone. I was there one time. They dropped off a 9-year-old girl and a little 6-year-old boy at his gate. And the mom and dad were in prison. They later found out because they were selling the little girl every night. Okay? I mean, this is just, but these three little girls here, they're off the street. They're being taken care of. Amen? They're getting the gospel. They're safe. They're adjusting. Amen? The little girl on the left, when I left, she was still at the dump. Didn't have a place for her. So that's what we want to do. We want to be able. Pastor Ted would take her if he could, but he can't. It's just overflowing. Okay, and then now this right here was up in the mountains. This is a success story I want to tell you about. Ronnie Kirban, he was a street kid. He got saved, got discipled, went on to seminary, and then got married, has a family, and now he's planted a church up in the mountains. The very street kids that he was one of, begged, borrowed, and still to live, he's now reaching out to them. On that day there, that was Christmas, Marie and I went there, took them food and presents, and I preached to 129 street kids. And I can't tell you how many dozens came forward for salvation. I just don't remember. I'm sorry. But that's Ronnie, Pastor Ronnie right there, Orem Baptist Church. Pastor Ronnie and his wife and everything, they know me. Right? We've been there several times, and we just love him. And that's the type of thing we want to do. I hope that gives you a clear picture of what we're wanting to do. Amen? A success story right there. They don't all have to be preachers. They need to be good men and women in the church. Amen? Amen. That's what we need. And so Jude 22 says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Amen? And that's our presentation there. We do covet your prayers. And I want to thank you all. If anybody have any questions, do you have any questions at all? Any questions right now? Okay. Then I'll just finish. Pastor, okay. She's asking, what does it cost to do the meals? Okay, what we do is we'll do something like just go get a whole bunch of bread, hot bread, and so that could be $20, you know. Well, like that spaghetti there, we paid for that early, and the ladies went and got it and made it the night before, and I don't remember what that was, maybe $40, $50. Okay, oh, that's right, because that was for two batches. So it was like $50 to do the street preaching we did there. Each one of those cost us about $50. We paid for that. Yeah. Yes? Yes. You said it all. So, she's asking about the street kids. She's just basically asking what's their situation. Okay, it's all of those, okay? They some of them do go to school, okay? Some of them don't very much. Some of them have a place that they stay. Maybe somebody will let them stay, but most of them sleep on the street, okay? The ones that are in the homes have it the best, especially if it's through a Baptist church, you know? But that's very few. The only one that I know of in that area is Pastor Ted's, and that's 50 kids. And there's a million. Now, in Manila, there's some other people doing it, okay? So that would be, you know, part. But not much. Yeah. Yes. The statistic that I was told was most of them don't reach past teenage years. Most. Is that the same thing? Yeah. So, I mean, you need to reach them. And by the way, the older they get, the harder they are to reach. That's true here. That's true anywhere in the world. In fact, the statistics are that we're fastly approaching 1/3 of the world will be 14 and under in just a few years. Okay? And most get saved at the age of 12 and under. Most people. And that's the same there. Only difference there is you better reach them young. Mm-hmm. That's a great question. And yes. Yeah, they just expanded. They were in the 30s for a long time, and they actually came to the U.S. and some people, actually it was a lady, she gave them a great amount of money, and they were able to purchase a home, which is not far from right where they're at there. And so they put all the big girls, the older girls in there, and so it freed up all kinds of space, and they filled it up like that. Like that. Look, they don't want to turn kids away, and you know, but there's, I mean, they also have to be, feed them. They have to educate them. You know, they have to take care of them. And so, but we've looked and looked, but we don't know of any other orphanages, even just a government orphanage in that area. We only know of the one children's home, and that's at Pastor Ted's. And that's near, if you want to call it near our area, the area we're going to go into. But even if it was right in the heart of the area we're going to, it's still just a drop in the bucket. Okay. Any other questions? I hope I answered. I hope I got everybody's question answered sufficiently. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the questions, for the concern. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor.
I could read that book. It's got a lot of pictures in it if you flip it the right way. Thank you, sir. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I'm sitting here thinking, if you can watch that and you're not moved, you have no compassion in you at all. None. And if I sat and watched something like that and I wasn't moved, I'd be on my face before God. Because I know something wrong with me. That's the need, but it's not just in the Philippines. It is not just in the Philippines. That story can be told over and over and over again. Now listen, folks. Those of you that are here, those of you that are watching, all we want you to do is to pray.
Amen.
I want you to ask God what he wants you to do this year for missions.
Yes,
I just want you to ask him. And I just want you to do what he says to do.
Right.
You said, preacher, I asked. He didn't tell me. You need to ask.
Come on.
Because if you'll seek him, he'll let you know. He'll let you know. So now the problem is sometimes I think he lays a number on our heart and we go, oh, that just must be me. That just must be me because that must be me. No, maybe that is God. And maybe God wants you to trust him and step out by faith and commit yourself to give to missions. Boy, I hope you'll pray about it. I don't care if you're up all night tonight praying about it till God gives you an answer. But seek him. Seek him. And I hope you'll do that. Boy, I hope you will. It's been great to be here tonight from my perspective. I've truly enjoyed the evening. I appreciate all of you who fixed food and you brought food. Boy, thank you for doing that. It was a blessing. And thank you, Ms. Wesson, for coming. I appreciate it. Was your mom able to watch, you think? Hi, Ms. Wesson. I hope you're still watching, okay? We sure do. What a blessing. And I appreciate that. Appreciate it, Brother Tarwar, your presentation, and Ms. Dunbar, the song, everything. Just appreciate what you did. So we're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. After we're dismissed, I'm going to give you some real specific instructions, all right? So don't just get up after the amen and run. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. Lord, we ought to be on our way to hell because that's what we deserve. But, Lord, thank you for sending Jesus Christ to save us. But, Lord, help us not to be the people that think, well, I'm saved, and that's what counts. But, Lord, would you deal with our hearts? Would you help us to see there's a need? And Lord, you've called upon us to help fill that need. Missionaries need to get to the field. There's a work to be done. Lord, we've got two families here with us tonight that are wanting to get to the field. And Lord, the only thing stands between them and going is a bunch of Christians and a bunch of churches that won't do what you've commanded us to do. Lord, help us not to be in that group. Help us, Lord, to commit ourselves, to trust you, to call upon you, and then do what you say to do. Deal with our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.